I thought the same thing. If everyone could come closer and shout out to kind of fill up the gaps. Please, for the parents, please keep your children with you. Also, we have a section in the back for those who came for other reasons other than the bayan. Don't catch my drift. Sorry. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا وانفعنا زدنا علما يا رب العالمين وقال الله تعالى بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولا تقربوا الزنا إنه كان فاحشة وساء سبيلا وقال تعالى في مقام آخر والذين لا يدعون مع الله إلها آخر ولا يقتلون النفس التي حرم الله إلا بالحق ولا يزنون ومن يفعل ذلك يلقى أثاما يضاعف له العذاب يوم القيامة ويخلد فيه مهانا إلا من تاب وآمن وعمل عملا صالحا فأولئك يبدل الله سيئاتهم حسنات وكان الله غفورا رحيما صدق الله العظيم. My dear sister, brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Alhamdulillah, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for allowing us to be back together, mashallah, for these halaqah sessions where we both revive our iman, our faith, mashallah, and we seek to inspire our hearts, inshallah, to practice deen in a better way, inshallah ta'ala. We hope to increase in our knowledge. Also remind the etiquettes and adab of the seating, inshallah ta'ala. As we know that the deen of Islam teaches us everything, mashallah. We get mannerisms for everything. So, mashallah, we have a lot of gaps again. You know, this is the way of the Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum to fill up the gaps, inshallah. Especially the youngsters in the back. I don't know why youngsters in the back. But look at you guys. Great looking at you guys. You should be sitting closer, inshallah. Okay, alhamdulillah. Especially our students. I don't like that our students are not the ones sitting in the front, right? That's not right. Mashallah, please fill in, inshallah. Don't leave a space for shaitan, right? Mashallah. We remind ourselves the barak of these gatherings is the hadith of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The angels search for these gatherings. To the point that when the angels come and they find one of these gatherings, they stack upon themselves until they reach the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They reach the throne of Allah. And then they, Allah ta'ala asks them and says, where are you coming from? They say, we're coming from a gathering of your remembrance. Allah ta'ala then asks the angels, have they seen me? Have they seen my Jannah? And they say, no Allah, they haven't seen you or your Jannah, but they desire it. And then Allah ta'ala asks them, what are they afraid of? They said, they're afraid of your anger, ya Allah. And they're afraid of your Jahannam, the hellfire. And then Allah says, have they seen my Jahannam or have seen my hellfire? And then angels say, no, Ya Rabbi. Then Allah Ta'ala says, I make you witness, O angels, that I've forgiven all their sins and I turn all their sins into good deeds. And then someone has asked, one angel asked, Ya Allah, isn't there one person in the gathering who just came and sat for like a little bit? He was looking for someone else and he just left. Allah says, I also forgive him too. They're such a people that no one will be misfortunate from the community, mashallah. May Allah make us of such people, inshallah ta'ala. This topic that we're having today, mashallah, is such an important topic. It's such a vast topic too. It's something that I really wanted to speak about for a long time. And I have, first and foremost, my message is going to be to the parents directly. Then inshallah, I'm going to speak to the students, inshallah. Okay? What I mean is that I'm someone who went through everything. I went through elementary school. My mother put me in preschool when I was 3 years old. And I went to elementary school, middle school, high school, mashallah. I went through college here. I did everything that was supposed to be done in this type of institute, these types of institutes, universities, etc. that are here. Okay, mashallah. And so I have a first-hand experience along with other things, right? So mashallah, parents, just want to speak directly to parents first, okay? So subhanAllah, we're going to send our kids back to school. And we want that they learn academics. You're thinking, mashallah, that they're supposed to learn math, science, history, and social studies or English, etc. You want them to learn those core basic subjects, mashallah. And that's all we want. We all just want the academics, right? And whether you agree, that we all just want is that they learn academics there, mashallah. But then what happens? You never get any study of knowledge. You don't get any knowledge except the environment is with it, right? You're going to have knowledge and environment. You can't have them separated, right? You're going to learn something with an environment, with a mahol around it. And so that's what happens. So we put them in this environment hoping that they'll learn. And you can ask all these kids, any of these kids. And I always challenge, I tell parents, till today, I have not found a person who's practicing deen, practicing Islam properly, that says that it's a good idea to send your kids to public school. Till today, I've not found a single person who says this is the best thing for your child to do. I'm just being real honest again. We're going to be very frank in our conversations here, okay? I till today have not found anyone who's practicing deen, who's trying to practice their Islam, saying that public school is a great place to do it. Because why? Because the environment that we're sending them in is a place where there's no God being mentioned, no Allah Ta'ala being mentioned, no discussion of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, no prophets are being discussed there, no Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, no Anbiya Alayhi Wasallam at all, right? Religion is taught in where? Any kids will tell you that it's probably taught in world history, and just taught as another civilization, Islam is another civilization in the world. I remember finding in the book, Muhammad is the founder of Islam, you know? And we all, in our minds, you're like, haha, that's really funny. But then a kid reading that, what does he think, right? And the person who's teaching it is a woman who's never studied any of Islam whatsoever. And she's the one trying to impose or teach Islam to all the people, right? It's usually, in my book, it was a footnote. You probably get like one or two pages in your books, right? Probably, subhanAllah. So in any case, the kid is sent into this type of environment. There's no God being mentioned. There's no prophets being mentioned. And then what is being mentioned? Who is he around, right? He's around people for about 7 to 8 hours per day. You know, this is probably longer than he spends even time with the parents, right? He's probably spending a lot more time in school. They're spending time with their parents, right? And so what do we find? Within that environment, subhanAllah, there's like a little bit of fast time that's taught. There's some teaching that's taught. The rest of the time is talking with friends, right? So he has a classmate next to him. If the little kids, mashallah, are going to talk, you guys can, there's a whole backyard for everyone in the back, inshallah. Yeah. Okay, mashallah. The sisters can hear as well, please, if the kids, if they want to listen, inshallah, if not, if they can go. So you send them to this environment. And there's like a little bit of class time where they're going to learn for 10, 20 minutes maybe. And then the rest of the time is just talking with friends, right? And then they finish their classwork very early. And then the rest of the time is conversing, right? This same friend that he himself, he calls his mom and dad by their names, right? I remember my friends used to call them Chris and Stephanie, right? That was his mother and his father. I used to call them like that. I used to curse at his parents, right? He used to talk about drugs and alcohol and different things, right? I only learned about drugs because of the friends there. I only learned about alcohol because of the friends there. Where do you think you learned all these things from? Because of the friends in that environment. So then he has friends that are talking about the thing. Where do you think our kids learn to curse, right? Whenever they go up for a basketball shot and they miss, right? And they go like, you know, they say like something. I'm like, say subhanAllah. I say subhanAllah, right? Why is it that a curse, right, is coming out? Usually subhanAllah. I saw this one, mashallah, really pious person. He stubbed his toe and he's like, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Allahu Akbar. He sent salawat ala Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam when he got hurt. Allahu Akbar, what an amazing thing, right? You can train yourself, but because we see other people doing something, we copy the same action. So he sees his friends cursing, so what does he do? He curses, right? They talk about drugs, so what does he do? He talks about drugs, right? And then he talks about alcohol relationships, all these different things, right? And then what happens, right? It's really a big popularity context, right? Your son or your daughter does not want to feel like they're the black sheep in the community, in the school, right? They don't want to feel like they're separated from everyone. So you have to make sure they fit in. And fitting in can mean a lot of things, especially which type of friends you want to connect with, right? So there's like the guys who are interested in sports, the jocks, right? Or the kids that are emo, or the kids that are into video games or whatever. So he has to act a certain way in order to make sure he can fit with that community, right? Those people. And so because of that, his personality changes. Parents wonder, why is my kid changing? Why is my kid doing this and that? Because he's trying to be popular. She's trying to be popular. That's really the rule here, right? You got to make sure you're the most popular kid in school, or else you're not going to fit in, right? And then you need to make sure your extracurriculars are there. So you spend even more time in that same environment, right? And so these are all things external to the actual topic, which is what? Zina and relationships. I haven't even gotten onto this topic here, right? This is what we're doing. And so just to give you guys statistics, just to give you an idea, you know, just like, you know, because this type of stuff is just profound to me. So they did a survey about 2,000 adults or so, right? And they found that, you know, at least for the woman in America, the American setting, okay? She's at least kissed about 15 men. She's had maybe 2 long-term relationships, maybe 2 heartbreaks, 7 dates, you know, per relationship that she had, maybe 4 one-night stands, waliyadu billah, 1 ex-partner that she's living with for more than a year, right? And then she had maybe 7 actual relationships that she like, you know, actual intimate relationships. We call them a jimar, actual intimate relationships. You get my drift here, you know? So she's had this many relationships. 2,000 adults said so. Men had 8 dates, maybe 3 blind, 3 online. Okay, because one of the 10 maybe intimate relationship partners that they had, same thing, then maybe 6 one-night stands, etc. This is the type of people that they have, right? Prior to finding, what did they say? What was the survey for? How many relationships have you had before you found the one? How many relationships have you had before you found the one? Beta, beti, you ruined everything before you found the one, okay? Your entire mizaj was corrupted, right? Why do we think divorce rates are so high in this community, society that we're living in? Because everything that is enjoyable after marriage has been done prior to marriage. Right? What is the love? What is the flavor about anymore? I'm already experienced, right? SubhanAllah, when you first experience the joy of a marriage, it's like, this is a brand new woman, SubhanAllah. This is someone I've never experienced having a relationship before. You like it. You enjoy it. It's just fresh. It's new. But if someone already has experience from before, what are they doing all the time? You know, SubhanAllah, you drove one car, the 2004 Galant, you know, and SubhanAllah, you drive your next car afterwards, and you're like, wow, this car, you know, comparatively is not as good as the previous one. You know what I'm saying? And so what happens is, when you have relationships from beforehand, what happens to your mizaj, what happens to your taste? It just becomes corrupted and you start to compare. Oh, he's not like him. Oh, the third one I had was better than this one. All these different things happen, liyaz billah. So what are we talking about here? They said, again, doing this survey, they said about 63% of high schoolers at least had one date. 57% of them from ages 12 to 17 were regularly dating, okay? 38% of them in middle school have relationships, either 2 months or more. 22% of them start from sixth grade and they continue onwards, right? I know a kid in my own experience. I know a girl in fifth grade, she was, waliyadu billah, she was made pregnant by one other child. It's outrageous, it's disgusting, right? But this is the type of societies that we're sending, this is what you are dealing with when you're sending them into this environment. A completely irreligious, secular environment that's not teaching Islam whatsoever. Okay, that's my thing to parents, inshallah. I'll come back to it near the end. Just be aware of what you're sending them into. You know, people are like, oh, this kid is okay, this kid is okay, this kid is okay. These are exceptions to the rule. Wallahi, this is exceptions to the rule. 3, maybe 1% of kids come out safe, mashallah, with the iman intact. The rest of them end up completely. We don't even find them anymore. Forget about finding them in the masjid. We don't even know where they are anymore. There's so many sad, tragic stories, right? So now for the boys, mashallah, and for my girls, mashallah ta'ala, my beautiful children of this Ummah Burlington, mashallah. So what do we need to talk about? So what's going to happen on your first date? He's going to get up in the morning with the mirror. He bought his shoes from like 2 weeks ago. He's going to make sure his Jordans are right, mashallah. He's going to make sure they're on right properly. Make sure his shoelaces are tied, right? He's going to make sure his pants are where they need to be in the exact length that they need to be and where they need to stop, right? You have to make sure. Then what do you make sure? This t-shirt, make sure it has like a very nice, you know, nice color on it. You know, must has to stand out, right? He's going to go in the mirror, make sure that all the hairs are right. You know, they're off where he needs to be off. Then make sure, she's going to make sure her eyebrows in the right direction, the right way, right? You're going to make sure the hair, you know, like there's 3 hairs sticking out this way. He's going to make sure they stick out that way, right? So that way it looks cool, right? It has to look cool. Everything needs to look fresh for the first day. Because he's going to come back. It's been 2 months, right? No one has seen him anymore. He's like the exotic animal now. He's the flamingo. He has to come in as flamingo sub and come back inside, mashallah. And now he has to show himself to everyone. It literally happens every single first day. For kids, the kids are laughing because they know that that's what I do all the time. It's what happens. He comes in with this idea that I just have to show off. He's going to come into class, have new teachers, new classmates around, laughing and joking. She's trying her best to fit in. They're trying their best to fit in. Then what happens? Then what happens is, and one girl, we see the next to one boy. Mashallah, she wears hijab. She's trying her best to practice her deen. Her parents raised her right, mashallah. And like that, every parent here, alhamdulillah, is trying their best to raise their children right. Wallahi, I believe it, that we're trying our best to raise our children right. But what happens is what? She's sitting next to one boy. And that one boy is doing what? He's part of the group that she's in. They're just doing some science, you know, some science project or stuff like that. And so then the talks and stuff like that, they have 4 people in the group. And so then they say, you know what? We should probably link up after class. It makes sense, right? So let's get everyone's like social media, maybe Facebook, maybe Discord, maybe Instagram, maybe TikTok, whatever it might be that you need to in order to click together, right? Let's say the more logical scenario, maybe Facebook and stuff. We can make Facebook groups, whatever. Let's get each other's WhatsApp, whatever. And so they start talking in those groups, right? And now SubhanAllah, this, but she doesn't realize that boy that's sitting right next to her is being pulled by someone, right? What does the Quran describe? How does the Quran describe zina? وَلَا تَقَرَبُوا الزِّنَا إِنَّوْ كَانَ فَاحِشَةً وَسَاءَ سَبِيلًا Surah Al-Isra, Surah Bani Israel. Allah Ta'ala says, don't approach zina. Don't get near zina, okay? It's different. Every other sin in Islam, it tells you that don't do it, right? Like, don't kill. And, don't disobey your parents. Don't do shit, right? But when it came to zina, Allah said, don't even get near it. إِنَّوْ كَانَ فَاحِشَةً because it is ugly, it is disgusting. وَسَاءَ السَّبِيلَ it is one of the most wretched of paths. Zina is not described as an action in the Quran. Zina is described as a road that you walk. What does Shaitan do? Shaitan, he's very, very well aware of how to get someone caught into zina. So he never ever starts it off in the beginning like someone wants to come up and do direct zina with you. Zina means, in our context here, zina means in Islam, anything outside of halal nikah, anything out of halal marriage. Halal dating doesn't exist in Islam. Fiancés don't exist in Islam. None of these things exist in Islam, but we make them halal, right? We say, oh yeah, he's sitting like, you know, 3 feet away from her. It's okay, mashallah, it's in a whatever. None of these things exist in Islam. There's only nikah, okay? There's only nikah. Anything outside of that could be deemed zina. Boyfriend, girlfriend, zina. Is that clear? So having said that, what happens is what? The boy starts to say, oh, you got a nice hijab. Where's that come from? He's like, oh, she's like, yeah, I bought it from such and such. So she doesn't really want to talk about herself. She's very awkward, right? She don't want to talk about herself, right? She's been at home all day, right? She don't want to talk to anyone. So she's being awkward and timid. And he's like, well, it looks really pretty on you. I would like to, maybe my mom could wear it one time and stuff like that. And then she starts to giggle, like, hee, 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 hee. And then he's like, ha, 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 ha. And then mashallah, the hee-hees and ha-has. And eventually what happens is that he goes and says, like, wow, that's really nice. And then she sees that whenever they're messaging in the group, then he starts to message her more. And starts to ask what her opinion is, what does she think, right? And then she starts to laugh and starts to joke. And then, he messages her privately. They have their own group text. And then there's a separate text between him and the girl. And then he goes and says, like, oh, what's your favorite ice cream? Chocolate. She says chocolate. He just lies and says it's chocolate too, because obviously that's what we're supposed to do, right? That's part of the game, right, brothers? Right? So you just lie. He just lies and says chocolate too. And he says that, yeah, chocolate is my enjoyable thing and this stuff. Oh, you like amusement parks? I like amusement parks too. Yeah, they're really fun and stuff. Maybe we could try to go one time. And now she's really enjoying it. She's really enjoying it. She's thinking that this is just a nice little conversation we're having. Nothing is completely wrong at all. Everything's completely fine, right? And then she keeps walking and walking and walking. And then eventually, like, he says, oh, what's your Instagram? He finds her Instagram sometimes. He'll just start to message her, give her a proper DM, whatever, to talk to her. And there on TikTok, whatever he can find her on, he starts to message her on those things. So now what they find is what? Mashallah, she's at home. And right in front, while her parents are having these nice dini conversations, she's sitting on the side just texting that boy the entire time. The entire time. They don't even realize. They don't even realize. They think they're sending a girl with a hijab and that's enough. That's enough. We think we did our due diligence. We just made sure she had the clothing on her head. Right? And then this happens. So then he right in front of her parents, she's texting. And then eventually the boy asks and says, maybe if we have some time, maybe after school, we can go hang out over here and there. And then she'd make excuses, right? She'll say that, oh, no, I don't have a car, I don't have this and that. She said, no, just let your parents know that there was like some assignment at school. We're just going to go out and get some ice cream or something, or get some chocolate ice cream, right? He's been setting this up for like a couple of months by now, And then what happens is as soon as that happens, and then finally, she goes and says, what's the big deal? What's the harm? What's the issues, right? And then finally she goes out for that ice cream, and then the path gets deeper and deeper and deeper. And Shaitan finally got what he wanted. He got them alone. The whole goal of this one, what is the goal of Shaitan? The whole goal is that you have your rational sense, mashallah, when you're around public, when you're around people, when you have a community. What does Shaitan, the first thing Shaitan does in order to make people misguided is gets them by themselves. He isolates people, okay? When a person wants to watch something haram, can they watch haram in front of their parents? Never. You think you'd ever watch haram in front of us? No. When can you watch haram? When you're by yourself in the dark of the night, when you think no one is watching, but Allah is watching. That's when a person is able to do haram. He isolates people. What does he do with the community? He goes and says, he makes them start a fight with someone. And then what happens? Because of that fight, I'm never coming back to the masjid. Brother and sister, that sounds nice on paper. It sounds good in your mind. But once you made that step, what happens is you cut yourself off from the society. And when you start to cut yourself from the Muslim community, even if we all disagree with one another, because alhamdulillah, we're sticking together with our disagreements, Allah puts barakah in this. We disagree with people all the time. It's part of life. But I still love everyone here for the sake of Allah. La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah is our slogan, is our kalima. Because I love everyone here, wallahi. Doesn't matter how much I disagree with you, my Muslim brother. I will die for you. I'll take a bullet for you. This is what it is to be a Muslim, But having said that, what happens is Shaitan, what he does is he tells someone, oh, that one brother, that one Abdul Mateen in the community, he made fun of you. You should never go back anymore. So then that person cuts off the family. And then what happens eventually? No one keeps touch with them. No one keeps interaction with them. The whole family becomes misguided, right? And then what happens with this dinner relationship? Then sister, let's call her, I don't want to pick up a Muslim name because I'm going to, so hold on, yell at me at the end of this. Okay, I don't even know a good name. Okay, we'll just choose like, I could do like Fatiha. I don't think we'll find a Fatiha in our community. Any case, so this sister, she ends up having this little talk with the boy. The boy comes closer one day and he thinks about, he maybe holds her hand. And she eventually loses control. She can't control herself anymore, right? It's been such a long time. She's been thinking about this boy, dreaming of this boy, thinking, falling in love with this boy. And she's completely fallen into his trap, right? And then eventually what happens is this whole relationship from 9th grade to 10th grade to 11th grade with the same boy, right? And the same thing what happens when kids go to school, what are the friends going to be talking about? Oh, Rebecca's with Jacob, and Jacob is with Stephanie, and nowadays it's Jacob with John, and Stephanie with Rebecca, right? There's so many crazy things you're going to hear within school, right? And that's all the conversation. You just who's with who and who's with what, right? And that's all that's happening in school. And she's also one of the talks. She's feeling popular. I have a relationship. I have a boyfriend. And so that's what it is. And so she feels popular because of it. So then what happens at home? Everything is completely fine. Nothing's wrong, right? Parents haven't seen that her hijab has changed a little bit. She makes sure some of the hair comes out now. She makes sure to wear her pants a little bit tighter because she wants people to notice her more. Right? She completely abandoned burqa, niqab, whatever. Forget it. Those things are out the window now. She just wants to make sure she's recognized by the boy that she fell in love with, right? And then what happens? Like 4 years go by.
5 years go by, 6 years go by, same boy she's with, right? And then finally the talks of marriage come for her. And do you think she wants to hear it right now? She's been with what? Brother John for like 6 years. And so when her parents start to talk about these things, she's like, she says, I actually found someone from before. And that's when the problems start to happen, right? When the problem should have been resolved way back when, we should have been careful about this issue. Shaitan, again, his first goal is get yourself in khalwa. Khalwa means to be isolated with the person. The Prophet said, لا يخلونا رجل بامرأة. Never should a man ever be alone with a woman. Neither in person nor in text. This is the main rule. If any kid is going back to school, and I warn you, I'd be careful, because why? You will sell your deen. Eventually, Shaitan will make you sell your deen. That's his whole goal. How can I get you to ruin your life? And that's what he does. You've been with your parents for how many years? Can you imagine this, right? Think about it. A person's been with their parents for 20, 25 years. But because they found someone on some website, some channel, whatever it is, he's willing to cut off his parents, saying, I don't even want to see them anymore. I don't want to be alone with them anymore. What happens if the parents don't accept this boy? Then what happens? She just runs away with him. And then they lose their daughter. What kind of terrible catch-22 situation is this for the parents? What are you supposed to do in this situation? It's a terrible situation. Shaitan wanted to cut her off from the beginning. And then they find out that this person might have been terribly corrupted, right? They're like, no, worse than she's told me, I don't trust no man. I don't trust any guy. Absolutely not. Especially with my daughter or anything like that. Why would I trust any boy? But what happens is we put them in these environments and she's sitting right next to that girl, next to that boy. You know, the strange thing is that you're thinking I'm making up the scenario. This scenario I heard within our community. Is it the tragedy that we find? Is it the tragedy that we find? We asked Allah of Afia. I heard it from the boy side too, but I'll tell you how that ended. It was a very good story, mashallah. But this is the thing I want everyone to be careful of. You know, what happens is Shaitan is going to target you. You are on the front line. For every kid in this room, you are on the front lines. You are the one that people are going to look at for deen. You know, everyone here, mashallah, the adults, you have your doubts. You have your coworkers. These kids are actually at the forefront of making sure their deen is practiced. They have to pray zuhr in front of everyone. And after a while, if you get old enough, no one even cares about you anymore. You can pray zuhr wherever you want. The kids have to pray zuhr in school, right? She has to wear hijab and burqa. She has to wear all these things in front of everyone, right? The boy has to make sure to keep his beard and everything and try his best to be a Muslim outside. It's not easy for them. There's literally what you expected. After throwing your kid in the fire, you expected him not to get burned. You threw him in the water, you expected him not to get wet. Are we really serious here? This is the environment that's there. So these kids have to be very careful. And this is my important reminder for everyone. Step number one, inshallah, first and foremost, never be alone. Never be alone. Make sure that whenever these emails and things and stuff come up, you're always with someone else in the room. Even myself personally, as a rule, what I make is when I make some emails out and everything, I always CC someone. Because why? Because I don't ever want to be that a sister accused me of something. Accusations happen all the time. This is such a terrible society we live in. You've seen Sadaqa Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The Prophet said, never should a man be alone with a woman. It's beneficial for both sides. There are a lot of khair in both sides for this. The Prophet said something so profound. If this society, if America adopted this, mashallah, a lot of these cases would never even happen in the first place. This is the reality of the matter, mashallah. Number one is never be alone. Number two is don't even start the game. For a lot of the boys here, right? He's going to look at the girl. Wow, subhanAllah, puberty hits for him. And now subhanAllah, all those hormones coming. And now the girl that used to just be Stephanie, she's like, Stephanie, you know? Wow, Stephanie, wow. Some parts of her are more enjoyable than other parts now, right? This is the thing. And he starts to think about them and look at them and things like that. He can't even control his emotion. And then his hormones are going all over the place, right? He doesn't know what to do with them, right? And this is the thing. Like, subhanAllah, parents are thinking like, oh, well, it's not my son. I hear this from your kids, okay? Like, you think I'm talking about this stuff out of a vacuum? SubhanAllah. And the parents like, oh, I'm going to beat him up for talking about these things. It is what it is. We got to deal with the situation. Don't put yourself in a bubble. Don't pretend like the world is okay and things. Because that's how you get trapped, right? Shaitan attacks you when you think you're in Jannah. When you remind yourself you're in the world, then obviously there are traps, there are tests, and all these different things happen. So now, subhanAllah, he starts to see her as this way or that way. What did the Prophet say about looking at the opposite gender? The Prophet said, another sahmum min siham iblis masmum. The Prophet said, the glance is from the poisonous arrows of Shaitan. Is that once you get poisoned, the effect doesn't happen immediately. What happens is after a long time, then you start to feel it. And so he looks once, he looks twice, he looks three times. And now the feelings and emotions can't go, so he looks for a time where he's by himself. You know, even though I still wonder why parents have given their children at 10 years old a phone. I don't understand it. I really don't understand it. And mashallah, especially in this type of community, alhamdulillah, where you drive your kids everywhere. I can understand maybe in New York, right? I used to have the Nokia phone. Everyone knows the Nokia phone? The thing that if the door was jammed, you could break it through with the Nokia. That's the phone, right? That's what my mom gave me, right? And she said, that's the phone you're going to be using. So that was still like 11th grade, 9th to 11th grade. That's really what it was, right? And that was like Dorura Yonatan. We were taking like buses and trains to school, right? Anything could have happened. You guys, subhanAllah, everyone, the kids go wherever you tell them to go. Like, subhanAllah, why is the kid having a phone? Why are you allowing them access to these types of things? Right? These are things we have to consider as parents. Like, legitimately think about these things. We're not just responsible for making sure the kid has nice clothes and make sure he's fattened up. That's what people do to animals, right? And that's not what we do for kids. Kids are supposed to be something you nurture, the akhlaq and adab. One of the rights that the father, one of the rights that the child has over the father. The Prophet said the responsibility of the father are four things. Number one, he gives him a good name. Number two is that he makes sure that he has a good mother. Number three is that he has to make sure that he raises him with good adab, Islamic etiquettes. And number four is that he marries him off when he's ready to get married. It's something nobody wants to have a conversation about. Nobody wants to discuss these things. But I'm jumping a little ahead. So what happens is what? So for kids, mashallah, make sure you keep your gaze low. Because why? Because once we get into that snap, that trap, that door, what happens? The heart falls in love and you can't do anything about the heart. The heart will not budge. It will not move. It pains. It hurts. When we tell you to abandon that girlfriend, to abandon that boyfriend, say, no, I love him. My heart is attached to him. My heart is connected to him. Yes, this is what happens. It's the reality of the matter. But you should have been careful from the beginning. Don't ever let yourself get into that trap. Don't ever let yourself fall into that issue. We should always be careful about these things. And so we get a lot of stories. You're not the first person in Islam. You're not the first person. Our deen deals with a lot of issues before anyone even talked about these issues. There was a man, subhanAllah. There was a man who he was trapped inside a cave. The hadith of Bukhari Muslim. The Prophet ﷺ described three people from the previous times. And each one of them has an amazing story. And so they were trapped because a boulder fell down and they completely shielded off the way to the cave. And so they couldn't get out. So each one of them said, we're not going to get out unless we make dua to Allah. Each one of you make dua, and because of the barakah of the dua, the boulder will open. Long story short, the first one, he makes dua and says, Ya Allah, I had parents. And you know, Ya Allah, that I would never eat anything, drink any milk before I serve my parents first. And then there was one night where his parents fell asleep very early, so he could not provide them the milk. So he spent the whole night awake holding the bowl for them. And he said, for the love of my parents, and his children were crying, saying, blah, 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 we want to drink. He said, no, my mom and dad will drink first. Whole night went by, he held the bowl in his hand, he waited till they woke up, then he fed them. Ya Allah, if I did it for your sake, please move the boulder. And the boulder starts to move. The second boy, the second man that comes up is an extraordinary man. He said, Wallahi, Ya Allah, I had a person in my family that I loved her so much. She was a cousin that I loved her so much. People are not careful anymore. With mahram and stuff like that, we're not careful. You know, my cousin is not my mahram. You know, my cousin is not my mahram. My brother-in-law is not my mahram. Mahram means someone that you're allowed to not do hijab in front of, right? A mahram is what? It is your immediate family. Not anyone from indirect or outside the immediate family. This is something people completely don't care about anymore. The Prophet says al-hamu al-maut, that the brother-in-law is death. And then people think that the brother-in-law is okay for me and I can live with him, we can enjoy. How many times has a woman been abused by a person in the family who don't even know about these things? And he makes sure to keep quiet about this. May Allah protect us from these scenarios. But this haqiqah, these are realities that we have to deal with. So in any case, the man, he goes and says, there was a cousin I loved a lot. She's the most beloved person to me. He says, وَهِيَ حَبُّ النَّاسِ إِلَيْهِ. She is the most beloved. I loved her so much. He said, I loved her so much. And so I wanted her to commit zina with me. I wanted her to go in relations with me. So then I paid her money. And I gave her money. I said, 120 gold coins. I said, please, allow me to do this with you. And she was in a very financial difficulty at that time. And so then she allowed him to do that. So then he sat and he was ready to go and commit zina. And then she goes and says something. She said, please fear Allah. And don't violate something without his right. And then he said that at that moment, I left her. She was the most beloved person to me. And he left that. And he said, Ya Allah, if I did it for your sake, please move the boulder. And the boulder starts to move. You know, people think that you're the first person to fall in love. Come on, man. Come on. Come on. You know, everyone here, mashallah, every uncle has a story, mashallah. You should ask them, mashallah. They didn't have this big beard and having taqwa of Allah, but they're having a story like, Mullah, don't expose us, please. My wives are here. I get you. I feel you, brother. The point is what? That everyone has a story. You think you're the only one who falls in love? Come on, relax, man. You think everything is about Princess Elsa and all this different stuff? You think you're Elsa here? Man, let it go, right? So the thing is that what? It's just, we think we're the special snowflake. Everyone thinks I'm the special one. Oh, I'm unique. My relationship could be halal. I did all this haram for 3-4 years, and now it could be halal later on. Allah might make him a Muslim. Allah might make her a Muslimah. You keep deceiving yourself. You keep lying to yourself. Would you want on the day of judgment that I go to Jannah, they go to Jahannam? And would you want that you both go to Jahannam then? Is that what we want? And I'm speaking very seriously, because why? Because we have to understand the reality of the matter. Fear Allah, because one day we're going to die. We're obsessing over 2 millimeters of skin. That's all it is. How much is the skin that we fall in love with? How deep is it? How thick is it? Just 2 millimeters. And everyone's obsessing over this type of thing. This one story, mashallah, is another story. One brother in the UK, Ajib. You know what happens when kids come from overseas? They come to the American lifestyle. And it's completely different, right? So he came to the UK, the Western lifestyle. And when he came there, he saw that everything was free. You know, his parents are back home and he's over here and they go to college, you know, and things that happen, right? We send our kids off to college, and I don't understand this either. I get that there are really nice, like really good universities out there, but if you have to sacrifice your deen for it, and you know, people have taqwa of their parents, they don't have taqwa of Allah. People fear their parents, they don't have fear of Allah. If you don't ingrain, if you don't have fear of Allah in your heart already, you're not, when you go anywhere, what are you going to do? So that's what happens. A kid will go to any school and then start to party it up, drink it up, and all these things, and his life, his attire, everything will change about him. Parents have no idea whatsoever. Oh, we sent you a very good school, it became a nice doctor. But what did he have to sacrifice for the degree, brother? Wouldn't you want your child to enter Jannah with you? And then he had to sacrifice everything, she had to sacrifice everything. Are we serious about these things? So what happens is, what, there was that one kid that he goes, and he saw that, you know, he came from a Muslim country. He saw that everything was fine. You know, he was just sitting with, again, the same girl scenario, sitting with the girl. And then, you know, the things happen, and he starts to enjoy himself. They like him because his accent is nice, right? Brother, right, mashallah, the barking and all these different things. And then she's in love with his accent, subhanAllah. It's such a nice accent, mashallah. And so then she's enjoying him. Say, hey, let's go. There's like some nice little things, you know, some nice events that we can go to. He didn't realize it was a party that they went to. And immediately at that party, what does he do? He ends up committing zina fully with that girl. Fully with that girl, he does. Waliyazu billah. He does such a thing, and he lies down and he's thinking to himself. He says that, what have I done to myself? What have I done? He's completely bereft and complete at loss of words. So he starts to cry so much, and he looks for anyone to teach him or educate him what to do. So then he looks around and he finds that, alhamdulillah, there's one student of knowledge, and he asks the student of knowledge, he says, I committed such an egregious, such a disgusting act. What should I do? And then the kid said to him, he advised him to fly back to your country, and then inshallah, spend some time with family and kind of recover from what just happened. So he flies back and he tries his best. And then one sheikh, he goes and meets, and he says, sheikh, please let me know what to do. And he goes and says, please, brother, just look. Allah will put you in this situation, but Allah forgives all sins. Allah forgives all sins. And if you make proper tawbah to Allah, Allah will change that sin into a good deed. So make tawbah to Allah, read Quran every day, and pray 2 rakats every day. Allah, forgive me for what I've done. The boy did so every single day, dedicatedly, without fail, he did. 2 weeks go by. He's just making dua, crying to Allah every single day. And then what happens is what? The friend that he contacted originally, right? So he's also there with him in the country. And so then he gets a text earlier in the day. He doesn't respond to it. The friend, the boy that committed zina, he gave him a text. He couldn't respond to it. And so what happens is he gets a phone call from the parents. The parents call him and said, please come into our house. So the friend goes over to the house. And then everyone, you know, when you walk into a house, you kind of see that everything is like not normal, right? And so then he said, what's wrong? Everyone's just standing very silent. And the father said, I want you to come with me. And then they walk into the room. They open the door. And then he sees the boy in sajda, just stuck in sajda. And then the father said to him, alhamdulillah, because of your help, mashallah, my boy passed away in sajda. Allah Ta'ala will allow you to make tawbah if you open that door for yourself. Look, we caught ourselves in a bad situation. We're in a boyfriend-girlfriend situation, a scenario. Halal is not the way out. Tawbah is the way out. I need to tell myself that this is not okay for me. Tawbah means I stop it right here. If Allah Ta'ala really wrote that person for me, then I will get them later on in life. Either that, or I will cool down, Allah will give me something better. Right? So this is the reality. Musa alayhi salam, subhanAllah, one time in the community, there was a really big sinner. And he was taken out of the community. People said, we don't want that if you stay in our town, that people will be punished by Allah because you're here. They exiled him, they banished him. The boy left, and then he ended up passing away. Musa is given wahi revelation from Allah. Wahid ibn Munabbi mentions the story. He says that Musa, he's given revelation from Allah. Allah tells him, Musa, one of my friends, my awliya, have just passed away. One of the friends of mine has passed away. I need to go pray in janazah. So then Allah said, Musa, let everyone know that whoever goes to the janazah, all their sins, even if it's the size of the entire earth, will be forgiven. So now everyone comes, thousands of people come to pray the janazah. They go and walk to the place Allah told them. Who did they find there? The young boy that was the sinner that was committing zina and all these different things. And they said, oh Musa, this is the same boy that was committing all these sins. You're telling us this is the wali of Allah? And then Musa, he asked Allah, said, ya Allah, what are the people saying? And then Allah says, they've spoken the truth. And they are the witness that he was someone who used to make all these sins. But then Allah says, but when he was by himself at the last moments, he looked right and left, he found no one. And he looked up and he knew Allah was there. And then he goes and says, well, and he looked at himself, he says, he's alone, he's lowly, he's disgraced now. There's no one to look for left and right. And he starts to make dua to Allah and say, ya Allah, if I were to ask you for forgiveness, that it would decrease your kingdom, I would not ask you at all. But I know that asking for forgiveness does not change what you have. And punish me, Allah, does not increase in what you have. Ya Rahman Rahim, you're the most merciful of those who have mercy. You're so kind, Ya Allah. You're so beloved, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, please don't break my hopes in you, Ya Rabbal Alameen. And he passes away like that. He passes away like that. Musa is told by Allah, oh Musa, if he were to ask for the entire world to forgive everyone, I would have forgiven him because of his dua. This is what happens when people look, you're in a bad situation. Don't stick yourself in that situation. Get out of it. Don't risk everything in the hereafter because of just one little dunyavi pleasure. A man came to the Prophet and said, Ya Rasulullah, idhanli bizzina. Allow me to commit zina. Hadith that Ibn Kathir mentioned in his tafsir and from Imam Musnad Ahmad. It's a hadith that's authentic. A boy came to the Prophet and said, Ya Rasulullah, allow me to commit zina. Sahaba ready to beat this man up, this boy up. You know, it's about to be, we're going to make spaghetti out of this boy. You know, so then they look at him and say, that this kid, Prophet says, ma. The Prophet says, stop, all you stop. This is the kindness of the Prophet. The Prophet says to the boy, udnu. He says, come close to me. And then the Prophet said, atuhibbu, would you like, would you like that the people do this with your mother? Right? And then the boy said, no, yeah, oh Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, oh ya Rasulullah, I would never like that anyone would do this with my mother. The Prophet said that people wouldn't like that to be done with their mothers. The Prophet said, would you like it to be done with your sister? And then the boy says, no, I would never like that to be done with my sister. The Prophet said, people don't like it to be done with their sisters. He says, would you like to be done with your aunt? It's such a beautiful way the Prophet is describing this, right? And then he says, no, I would never want it to be done with my aunt. The Prophet said, people wouldn't want it to be done with their aunts as well. Then the Prophet puts his hand on the chest of the boy and he makes a beautiful dua for him and says, Ya Allah, give him, you know, dilka tandi, make his heart cool his heart down. And save him from this. And then subhanAllah, because of the barakah of the dua of the Prophet, the boy never felt the feeling anymore. Alhamdulillah. This is the two things I would advise for anyone who's stuck in a terrible situation. And I want to apologize first and foremost. Okay? I think as a Muslim community, we completely dropped the ball on this. We should have started our own schools from a long time ago. A proper Islamic school, a proper one, not just like just by name, you know? I visited Sheikh Asif the other day. He was saying that so-and-so Islamic school, he said that seven of the kids became apostates, became people that left Islam. He says that, you know, and he was shocked because he had his daughter in that school. And what did he do? He actually took his daughter out. He said, I'm just going to homeschool her from now on. I think as Muslims, we really dropped the ball on this. You know, everyone has so much money, mashallah. If we could have just put all the money together, really. And forgive me for saying this. I don't mean to apologize. I've been here for 6 years now. I don't mean to offend anyone. But the thing is that this is the reality of the matter. We really dropped the ball on this way back then. We should have done this a long time ago. Properly, mashallah, get the funding for it. We should have sent our daughters, if we did send them to school, at least make them teachers so they can come back and teach in our institutes, right? And then make sure our boys can teach, mashallah. Then we can have teachers, we can pay them properly. And that's how the, you know, mashallah, other religions have done it in this country to preserve their religion, you know? We just, for certain reason, we just thought, no, it's okay. Just put them in the fire and expect them not to get burned, right? Now, to grant us understanding, inshallah, please don't feel bad about it. But this is something we have to really make fikr about. I apologize first and foremost. I wish we didn't have to put kids in this situation. But you are in this situation, okay? One boy saw, subhanAllah, he saw a... So I just kind of loud. People just calm down, inshallah. It's just two more minutes, inshallah. I promise we'll be done, okay? I know people are hungry. Okay, mashallah. May Allah accept the knowledge that you're learning, mashallah. May Allah accept that you've entertained me for about 40 minutes, alhamdulillah. A boy saw a butterfly coming out of a cocoon, right? So he saw it like, you know, pushing. And finally, it breaks open the cocoon and it comes out, right? The wings are beautiful, right? Monarch butterfly, mashallah. So beautiful it is, right? And then the boy saw this, like, but the butterfly struggled so much in breaking the cocoon. So then next time he saw another cocoon, and he said, you know what? And he grabbed a scissor. So then he started to cut off the top of the cocoon, and he said, you know what? I'll make it easy for him to come out. So when the butterfly came out, it came out smooth. But the thing was that the wings weren't working. So it couldn't fly. It became very frail and just ended up dying on the ground. And so he asked the teacher, what happened? He said, you have to understand. Now look, the reason why the cuckoo is there is because it had to struggle a little bit. Because once it struggles, then the wings become strong so it can fly. Allah put you in a situation that you just have to grow out of. You're a cocoon right now. All you kids right now, you're all cocoons. None of you guys are butterflies. I make dua. Some of you guys are moths. Some of you guys are mosquitoes. May Allah make us tawfiq, inshallah. Mashallah. May Allah make all beautiful butterflies. Okay. They're like students. What can I do, right? We've seen them grow up, right? We have to understand that there are certain struggles that Allah puts us through. Okay. I want to know for parents, inshallah, have a conversation. I know it's difficult for the father to go and say, so, son, you into like sports and girls, maybe? maybe girls, you know. Have a conversation, sit down and talk about it. I, mashallah, my parents sent me through the school and stuff like that. It was difficult. I'm not going to lie. A lot of stuff we had to go through, a lot of challenges, 100%. But I do thank that Allah that I had a mother that sat down and talked to me about marriage at 17. She clearly knew I wasn't going to get married. I knew I wasn't going to get married either, but I was trying to prep her with the talk so I can get married when I wanted to get married, you know? Alhamdulillah, I thank Allah Ta'ala for that. You should do the same thing. If you see your kid, mashallah, acting a little weird, a little goofy, right? Mashallah, right? Then talk to him. Have a conversation. I know it's hard, but mashallah, just break that ice, you know? Because a father is responsible for his children. That's a fact. Prophet said, you will be asked in the day of judgment. As for the kids, mashallah, know it's your challenge to Allah Ta'ala. Make sure, inshallah, be strong and have willpower. The best way is with willpower, have strength. That one day I want to meet Allah, and instead of falling in love with this girl or this boy, I want to fall in love with Allah. I want to make sure that I'm the beloved of Allah. Because if I'm the beloved of Allah, everything will go my way in the dunya and akhirah. If I fall in love with Allah, I will become his wali. If I'm Allah's friend, then he'll never let me down. Fall in love with Allah Ta'ala, pray to Allah, cry to Allah, pray more salah, engage and become deeply devoted to Allah. And you'll see that everything will make easy for you. Allah will make an easy way out of it, mashallah. That one boy that got caught in that terrible trap of zina, what happened to him was his teacher advised him. He was a student of knowledge. He was in madrasa. So the teacher found out about this. He was very open with his teachers. His teachers helped him out. His parents wouldn't help him out. His teachers helped him out. The boy was told by the parents to go off, by the teacher, go on 40 days jamaat. So let the girl know that inshallah, I'll talk to you after 40 days. Right. Absolutely. You know, the teacher was smart, right? So after 40 days, within 5 days, he realized that why would I get Jahannam for this type of thing, right? So then afterwards, 40 days, he completely cuts her off. He doesn't talk to her at all. He meets her one time, even in a store. And she says, hi, how you been? How you doing? She's with another boy now, right? And he's like, wow, I almost sold my entire world for this. Allah gave him understanding. Allah will give us understanding as well. Be confident and strong. Make a good dua. Allahumma inna as'alaka al-huda wa tuqa wal-afafa wal-ghina. Allahumma inna as'alaka al-huda. I, Allah, ask you for guidance. Wa tuqa and taqwa. I ask you that you allow me to have internal taqwa, that I fear you when no one is there. Wal-afaf. I ask you for chastity, Allah. I ask you for me to become chaste. I don't want to be someone who goes towards haram and zina. Wal-ghina. And ask Allah that you give me financial independence. What a beautiful dua, right? Allah, ask you for huda wa tuqa wal-afaf wal-ghina. Make this dua every day. Allah will give you afiyat, inshallah. May Allah to everyone, for everyone, inshallah. May Allah make it easy for everyone going through this challenge. May Allah make it that's easy for us to get out of this challenge. May Allah that we are never near this path, ya Rabbul Alameen. May Allah save our children and our daughters, ya Rabbul Alameen. May Allah that we practice deen properly, inshallah. May Allah give us so much tawfiq, inshallah. The Son of Muhammad and his Sahih. Inshallah, we'll make dua quickly, inshallah. We want to recite Durood Sharif. Allahumma salli Muhammad wa Muhammad wa salli ta'ala Ibrahim wa ala Ibrahim, the Kareem Majid. نبارك على محمد وعلى محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين واغفر لنا يا مولانا إنك أنت الغفور الرحيم يا أرحم الراحمين يا أكرم الأكرمين يا ذا القوت المتين يا راحم الساكين يا الله يا أرحم الراحمين يا آسف يا الله we were covered in sins يا الله we had to be covered in sins يا الله made so many mistakes in our life يا الله we committed so much guna يا الله يا أرحم الراحمين how many haram things we saw with our eyes يا الله how many haram things we heard with our ears يا الله How many halal things we say with our tongues, Ya Allah? Ya Rahman Rahim, forgive all the sins, Ya Rabbul Alameen. Rabbul Kareem, please, Ya Rahman Rahim, protect us, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we're living in a country, Ya Allah. The deen is not practiced, Ya Allah. Islam is not practiced, Ya Allah. Ya Rahman Rahim, so much sin is being conducted outside, Ya Allah. Please, Ya Allah, protect our inside, Ya Allah. Protect our internally, Ya Allah. Ya Rahman Rahim, purify our hearts, Ya Allah. Save us from all these fitan, Ya Rahman Rahim. Ya Allah, especially our youth, Ya Allah, and our children, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, the coolness of our eyes, Ya Allah. The kids that we love, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we want to send them, Ya Allah, to become great, Ya Allah, in the world, Ya Rahman Rahim. Please, Ya Allah, protect our Islam, Ya Allah. Protect your deen, Ya Allah. Allow us to put them in environments, Ya Allah, to protect them, Ya Rahman Rahim. Ya Allah, please make those mahal, those environments, Ya Allah, to protect our children, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, how much it pains our hearts, Ya Allah. How many children have you seen, Ya Allah, go off the straight path, Ya Rahman Rahim? Ya Allah, please, Ya Allah, bring them back to the straight path, Ya Rabbul Alameen. Rabbul Kareem, Ya Allah, if our children are off, Ya Allah, please guide them, Ya Rahman Rahmeen. Ya Allah, please, Ya Allah, if our children are on the straight path, Ya Allah, please keep them guided, Ya Rahman Rahmeen. Ya Allah, please keep them on Hidayah, Ya Rahman Rahmeen, on Islam, Ya Rabbul Alameen. Ya Allah, we want to enter Jannah with all our family, Ya Allah, all of our friends, Ya Allah, all of our community, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, please don't isolate us from you, Ya Rabbul Kareem. Don't isolate us from the Muslims, Ya Rabbul Kareem. Rabbul Kareem, Allah, Ya Rahman Rahmeen, to enter Jannah with those Habib Muhammad, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Ya Rabbul Alameen. Ya Rahman Rahmeen, we said things, Ya Allah, that might have offended anyone, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, please, Ya Allah, allow them to forgive us, Ya Rahman Rahim. If any offense was happening, Ya Rabbul Alameen. Rabbul Kareem, Ya Allah, we ask you, Ya Rabbul Kareem. Ya Allah, that you put us all in Jannah for those Habib Muhammad, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Ya Allah. Allah, allow us daughters to wear hijab, Ya Allah. Allow them to practice the burqa, Ya Allah, and niqab, Ya Rahman Rahimeen. Allow our children, Ya Allah, that boys will never leave their beard, Ya Rahman Rahimeen. Practice deen fully, Ya Rabbul Alameen. Allow them to pray 5 times daily, salawati, Ya Allah. Allow them to fast in Ramadan, Ya Allah. Go for Hajj, Ya Allah, and give the zakat, Ya Allah. Allow them to meet you on the day of judgment, Ya Allah, in a way that you're happy with them, Ya Rabbul Alameen. Ya Allah, be pleased with us, Ya Allah. Enter us all in the Jannah for those of Habib Muhammad, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Subhana Rabbika Rabbil Izzati Amma Yasifun. Wa salamun ala al-mursaleen. Alhamdulillah. If everyone can stay in the front hall before going to the back, they have to set up the back hall just really quickly and check.